What we're going to cover today really goes to the essence, not just of what the second chapter of the Shema is coming to teach us, but really speaks to the essence of the dignity and stature of man, the difference between the human being and the animal. Early on, somewhere between class number 3 and class number 7, we talked about a major distinction between the human being and the rest of creation. As we know, the world was created in Bereshis through the 10 utterances of creation. We refer to this many times throughout Psukei Dezimra, throughout the introductory prayers of between Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach, and perhaps it's most clearly brought out in Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Olam, blessed he is who spoke, and the world came into existence. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, with the word of Hashem, the heavens came into being, uberuach piv kol tzavam, and with the wind of his mouth, everything therein was created. So, again, through the steps of creation, comes into existence a world through dibur, through the Almighty's speech. The body of man also was created, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, one of the utterances is, Nase Adam, let us make man. So man too comes into existence through a dibur, through a statement. However, our sages tell us, and it's again very strongly alluded to in the Pesukim, if you look through Bereshis, you will see that the creation of man is split between chapter 1 and chapter 2. In that chapter 1, Hashem creates the body of man. In chapter 2, Hashem creates or goes through the explanation of how he created the soul of man. The soul of man is blown into man, as the Pasuk says, Vayipach ba'apa of nishmas chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into man his living soul. And that, we are to understand, involves a much deeper connection than dibur, than his speech. Anybody who's ever had a birthday party in their house knows that you can speak for a long time, but you blow up 3 balloons and you're completely exhausted. Because when a person blows, to quote the language of the Zohar, man de nofach, he who blows, mitoche nofach, blows from very deep within themselves. Speech is very external, it's from here out. Whereas blowing, someone blows from within, they're blowing something much deeper than words. So even in external form, the blowing of the creation of the neshama comes from a much deeper place than does the speech which created the rest of creation, including the body of man. So if you will, man has 2 parts. Man has their body that was created along with the rest of creation. Man has the neshama. The neshama is created from this blowing which comes from deep within. With every creation, let's take a mashal, and I did not usually, I have sources for these various parables so that they line up better, but I was left to myself here. So the various parables I'm going to share with you today are homemade, and their alignment, some of them need an alignment job. But if you take a person who conjures up an image in their mind of a home that they would like to build, and they imagine how each room in this house is going to look, and how it's going to be decorated and how what kind of furniture they're going to put in it. And then they go and hire a professional. And that professional is able to take the ideas, the concepts. They hear the concepts from the other person, and then they take them and write them down and create what we call blueprints. Those blueprints are then taken by contractors, and the contractors do the work. Now, the contractor, each individual contractor, really has no concept of what the original image was that the person related to the architect. The guy who's laying the bricks has no concept as to what this dining room is eventually going to look like and what kind of furnishings are going to be there. He's got one job. I got to slap on some mortar and put down some bricks. I finish my 20 feet of work and I'm out of here. Each individual contractor has their piece of the job. It's the person who had the image ahead of time who has the big picture. The power and the accuracy, if you will, of the end result is really going to depend on how eloquent the person who had the image is. If I have trouble relating to the architect, the picture that I have in my mind of what this dining room is going to look like, the dining room is not going to end up looking like my imagined picture, right? So that really depends on how well I'm able to articulate to the professional, to the architect, the image that I have. Let's imagine for the moment, let's apply these theories to creation itself, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, in creation, creates through speech. But as Julius used to say, there's a story behind. And before there is the speech, which actually creates, which is the individual contracting, there's an image which is called the Chachma Ilah, the wisdom above. There's a wisdom which preceded the speech of creation. It is from that wisdom that the blowing of the soul takes place. The soul of man comes from that Chachma Ilah. So man is not part of the contract job. The soul of man stems from this original picture, stems from the original concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world, which creates a fascinating duality within man. The body of man is very much of the world. It is actually one of the creations, just like the fish and the birds and the stones and the grass. The soul of man comes from a much deeper place and a much more original place called Chachma Ilah. And we'll see soon why that piece of information has any relevance. Chachma Ilah, the highest Chachma. There's a strange and yet fascinating pasuk. Oh, let's see, I have a different order in my outline. So let's wait for a moment. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates man, we're told that man has two names. Man has one name of Adam, which speaks about the fact that he resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man has another name of Adam, we'll touch upon this again later, which talks about him being of the earth. Man as a speaking being is man's, that's what man is called. He's called the Medaber. When we talk about the various levels of creation, we have the Domein, which is the inanimate object. We have the Tzomeach above that, which are the things that grow. We have the Chai, which are the living beings. And above all them, there is the Medaber. There is man who is a speaking being. Because man, like the Almighty, has the ability of creating. Where does this creation first appear? Let's take a look at letter D. The pasuk says, "Vayitzer Hashem alikim min ha'adama." Hakadosh Baruch Hu creates from the earth. Kol chayas asada, all the animals of the field. Ves kol oif hashamayim, and all the birds of the heaven. Vayave el ha'adam, and he brings them all to man. Lirois ma'yikrelay, to see what man will call him. V'chol asher yikrelay ha'adam nefesh chaya hu shamayin. Everything that man calls, each living being, becomes the name of that animal. That becomes man's job. So listen what happens here. You know, we all have the images from whatever books, the children, the Bible books, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu parades these animals before man, and man says, that's a hippopotamus. And of course, Chava says to him, why is it a hippopotamus? He says, looks like a hippopotamus. Right? What the pasuk is telling us here is that through man's soul connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, man had the ability of drawing upon each creation and naming the creation based upon its essence, because he preceded in stature, in order. He preceded the creation of anything. And because man's root, man's source, is in the world of the neshama, which comes from this highest wisdom, man determined the properties of all of creation. The Medrash says that it wasn't just the animals that he named, it wasn't just the birds that he named, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him every plant and every mineral. He named all of creation. And it wasn't just giving them identifying labels. He determined their properties. How did man do this? Because man is so godlike on his soul level. Not on his physical level, but on his soul level. He is so godlike that he has the ability that Adam, Harishon, had the ability of actually determining the nature of these various beings. So man was Adama le'elyon. He was so godlike that man was involved in the determination of the nature of every one of these creations. And therefore it became its name. Its name was not just that we can distinguish between the elephant and the giraffe. Adam determined which animal it was going to be, eaters of flesh, and which ones were going to be eaters of vegetables, and so on and so forth. All the qualities of the minerals and of all these things. Which plants were going to be poisonous and which were going to be healing. Man was involved in that process. To take that out a step further, due to the fact that we are Adam now, we determine nature. Nature is dependent upon us. We read it yesterday's parsha very clearly. In b'chukai satelecha, if you walk in my ways, I will give the rain in its correct time and the earth will give forth its fruit, and so on and so forth. This isn't reward and punishment. This is the world being dependent upon man. Man is a microcosm of the world. Quote for you the language that the Mittler Rebbe uses here. It is upon man that all oyer v'shef, all light and energy of the worlds, whether spiritual or physical, depend. It is according to his actions, either for chesed, for kindness, or ledin, or heaven forbid, for justice or harshness. And therefore, nikra olam katan, man is called a small world. The analogy that occurred to me as I was laying in bed and grappling for something that we can relate to, you know that we all, those of us who have computers, work with various computer programs that can do all kinds of things. But every one of us is limited to what the program is designed to do. unless we sit down and somehow are trained by the person who programmed the program. If we're trained by the programmer, then we can change the program. We can make the program do things that the typical person can't do due to the limitations of the program. And that's why computer programmers are able to get in and sometimes do very dangerous things. They can reprogram the Pentagon's, whatever it is, defense systems. The rest of creation is working with a program. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, due to the fact that man's neshama stems from this Chachma Ilah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the program. He taught us how to manipulate the program. And therefore, we now control the outcome, the results of this program called creation. All right, section 2, which is labeled section 3, just to make sure people stay with the program. So look at this pasuk. This pasuk really sums up each one of our lives. Vayitzer Hashem elikim es ha'adam. Hashem creates man, afar min adama, made from earth. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he blows into his nostrils a living soul. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, and man becomes what's called a nefesh chaya. Man becomes a living being. And right here you really have the duality of man. On one hand, we're created out of the earth. The same thing if you look above, Hashem created all the animals from the earth. So just like the animals are created from the earth, we are created from the earth. And then the pasuk concludes by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a living soul. The Targum on this pasuk translates, and man was a living soul, man was a speaking being. And in the name Adam itself, Adam has two meanings. One of them is Adama le'elyon, I will resemble the higher one. Just like God creates, I can create. And Adam can also be from the language of Adama. I am from the earth. And man makes the choice as to which one of these Adams he is going to be. Each one of us chooses. Is my Adam, the fact that I am named man, is that my wanting to resemble Adam al-Elyon that I want to be godlike? Or am I a beast of the earth? Am I Adam min Adam? So every one of us is forced to make that choice in our very name. Which Adam am I? Am I the man who resembles God, or am I man who resembles the animal? But contained in that question is something so unbelievably powerful. Because each one of us has cells of Adam HaRishon within us. And certainly in the spiritual realm, our neshamas are no different. And what that says is that just like Adam had the ability through his speech to create and through his being to alter nature, each one of us has that potential. Look at this Gemara, let us see. You'll all remember that in the desert, Klal Yisrael was given the mitzvah of building the Mishkan with all kinds of very complicated various utensils and appliances and things. You can all ask Mora Torim for careful descriptions that Shabsi shared with us. He was able to relate. Now, who did all these things? And some of them were practically impossible to make. Look at this. Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Yedeya haya bitzalel litzaref oisiyos shenivru behen shemayim v'aretz. Bitzalel, in order to make the Mishkan, did not only use very clever craftsmanship, but Bitzalel reconfigured the letters of creation. He took the letters that created gold. He took the letters that created silk and whatever other materials he was working with and reconfigured the letters in order to create the kinds of utensils he needed to create. That was the chachma of Bezalel. That was the wisdom of Bezalel. So we see that this wasn't only Adam HaRishon. But in fact, it was the power and the wisdom. That's the word the Gemara uses, is the wisdom of Bezalel, because it is that soul which stems from this highest wisdom that Bezalel identified with. Each one of us needs to, at every moment, identify with ourselves as to which part, which one are we? The animal is always the animal. But the human being chooses on a regular basis. Am I Adam al-Elyon? Am I a person of soul? Or am I a person which is similar to the beast? You've all heard this story before, but I'd like to review it with you inside. It's a Gemara in Tainus, the next letter D. And again, the words are very exact. Chad Beis Shimsha, one evening, Rab Chanina ben Doisa, the Tana, Chazya Librate, saw his daughter, Dehavas Atziva, who was depressed. She was sad. Amala Biti, he said, my daughter, Lamaya Tzivas, why are you upset? Amrale, so she said to him, Kli Shal Chaymitz Nischalafli B'Kli Shal Shemen. I switched around the vinegar bottle with the oil bottle. V'hidlakti mimenu er l'shabbos, and I lit by mistake the Shabbos candles with vinegar. Amalos Reb Chanina ben Doisa said to her, Biti, my daughter, my ichbas lach, who cares? Misha Amal l'shemen v'hidlak, he who said that oil should burn, who yomar, he will say, l'chaymetz v'yidlak, he will say that vinegar shall burn. Tana, we learned, hayadaylik v'haylech kol hayom kula, it burned all day long, ad sheyuviyu mimenu er l'avdalah, to the degree where they lit the havdalah candle off of that vinegar burning lamp. Chanina ben Doisa, Chazal are trying to tell us, identified so strongly with his neshama that when he said, Misha Amar L'Shemen V'Yid, like he who created oil with his speech, Yoyma L'Chaymet, he will say that vinegar should burn, Reb Chanina ben Doisa altered nature. He resembled Adam HaRishon in that first naming of creation. And Reb Chanina ben Doisa made vinegar burn. That's the power that a tzaddik has. And it's not a surprise when we set it up in this fashion, due to the fact that it's not altering on the contract level. Man comes from the idea, from the concept level that precedes the architect. Reb Chanina ben Doisa went back and identified with the original image of the world. And therefore he was able to alter, not on the level of altering nature, but because the soul of man precedes the actuality, the creation of nature, man has the ability to go back to the source and change it, provided that he is a person who identifies with his neshama, which is not, obviously, not an easy accomplishment. The Gemara says on the Pasuk, Tzadik Moshel B'Yiras Elikim, the Tzadik rules in the fear of God. So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exclaims, I rule over the world, and who rules over me? Me, Moshel B, the Gemara says, Tzadik. The tzaddik rules over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzaddik has the ability to alter nature. And as we read yesterday, therefore, if you walk in my ways, then we have the ability to command the successes and failures of how nature responds to man. So let's talk about the process of... We describe something very exalted and which seems to be so far removed. But here's I think, something that each of us will understand and accept, though it seems to be very far beyond us. We want to draw a distinction. Each of us prides ourselves on being human, Well, where's the distinction between the human and the animal? Is it just in the fact that we have the ability to comprehend complex ideas? Or, if you will, is it just that we have the ability in fulfilling God's will to be able to daven, to perform mitzvahs? Is that the area of distinction? Or would it be logical and almost a necessity to say that even in the areas that we share with the animal, that there should be a distinction between man and beast? You follow what I'm saying? We're going to describe something exalted and something which seems to be removed or distant from us. But it's got to be, I think that every one of us would accept the difference. When you watch in the IMAX films how a lion devours its prey, that there should be a distinction between the consuming that a human does and the consuming that the animal does. So just keep that in the back of your minds as we proceed through the next section. And it seems to be so far removed that we each accept that that difference is a true difference. That there really is, in essence, a difference between man and beast, even in the things that we share with the animal kingdom. So, the pasuk says, pasuk in Devarim, ki loy al halechem levada yichya ha'adam, it is not by bread alone that man lives, ki al kol moitzi pi Hashem yichya ha'adam. Rather, man lives by the word which emanates from Hashem's mouth. Again, viewing the fact that man is made up of a duality. We have a physical part and we have our spiritual part. Man's physical body is nourished by the physical elements of the bread that sustains the body. But man's soul is nourished, and we've learned this several times in the name of the Arizal, man's soul is nourished by the statement of let the earth give forth vegetation, which gives the bread its existence, right? So when man eats the bread, the soul is nourished by the spiritual component of the bread, which is God's word that brings the bread into existence. So man's body is nourished by the physical aspects of the bread. Man's soul is nourished by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives the bread its existence, those words that allow the bread to exist. But we understand that there are two types of eating. Let me just tell you the words that the Mittler Rebbe uses here about eating. And he says, quoting this pasuk in Mishle, the tzaddik eats to satisfy his soul, and the stomach of the wicked is lacking. So he says as follows, that if a person eats bikavana toiva, with a good intent to satiate his soul, so that he will have the energy for his body and soul to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not only to fill his stomach, then man has the ability to be elevated by the godliness within the bread, meaning by the spiritual component of the bread, which is God's word that sustains the bread. So when man is identifying with his Adam of the Elyon, with his spiritual component, when man is recognizing that they are the bearer of a soul, not just an animal, and that's the way they're eating, then the food will elevate the person. And he explains that ever since Adam's sin, everything in the world is mixed with Tov and Ra. The entire world is mixed up with good and evil. Everything has within it good and evil. And when a person utilizes something in the world and is able to approach it as a human rather than as the animal, they create a separation between the good and the evil. And therefore, the good within the food elevates the person to a place that they could not have gone without that food. Conversely, if a person is only eating, as he says, to stuff his face, then not only will the person not be elevated by the food, but he says it will bring out yugbar chelik harasha b'maychol, the bad portion of the food will gain the upper hand, and it will bring out the person's worst qualities and drag the person down further. The Gemara tells us, we discussed this Gemara, that there was once Rava was struggling to understand a very difficult sugya. And he worked and worked and couldn't hack it. Then the next day he came into the Beis Medrash and explained it very easily. And his students came over to him and said to him, Rebbe, how did you do that? So he said, yesterday I had not had any steak. Last night I had a steak. And now I can understand it. Rav understood that there is a quality in the food when approached as a human being that can elevate the person to a place that they couldn't be elevated without it. But that is provided that we approach the food like a human being. Then it raises the person. Whereas if a person approaches the food only as the animal, then the food, the chelik hara, the evil portion of the food, is that which the person is identifying with, and it'll drag the person down. But here's where this is taken to another fabulous realm. We're focusing on the fact that the food will elevate man. What we fail to realize is that when we are identifying with, not with the creation of man that took place in the 10 utterances, but with man which precedes those 10 sayings, with the neshama of man, which comes from the plan level, we elevate the world. Because we're taking all the physical matter with which we interact, our clothing, our homes, our food, whatever it is that we're interacting with, and we are utilizing it through our neshamas rather than strictly through our bodies, which is the same as the rest of creation. Not only are we elevated by the food, but the food is elevated to the root, to the soul of man. And the plan comes to life. Because here we're taking everything back to the planning level. We're taking everything back to the original vision. So we are being elevated as we elevate the world. The results of this elevation are that when a Jew is elevated back to that plan level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours forth the bounty. That's the place where a Jew accesses the bounty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is when we elevate man back to that level. That's where the tzaddik and we playing that role have the ability of accessing all kinds of spiritual and physical brachas. For this reason, the word lechem, if you look at letter D, is the very same letters as the root of the word for war. To be lochem is the verb of war. Lechem and lochem are the same, because what we're recognizing here is that every time we sit down to eat, there's going to be a war between the two parts of man. There's man as the animal, and there is man as the soul. And therefore the Zohar says, he who wants to eat bread should recognize that he is eating on the edge of a sword. When you're on the edge of a sword, you go either one way or the other. So there's a battle which takes place every time we sit down to eat. Who is eating? And the ramifications of that are both for ourselves and the entirety of creation. Will we be elevated, and will we elevate the world with us? Mentioning this here. And then we'll get back to the questions. One thing was, if you look back in letter A, in section, what's labeled here is section 4, where the Pasuk says it is not by bread alone that man lives, ki al kol moitzi pi Hashem, it was by the entire source of the Word of God. What the commentaries stress is that it easily could have said, ki al moitzi pi Hashem, by the Word of God, kol moitzi pi Hashem, means that man thrives not by the words of creation, but man thrives by the source of the words of creation. Going all the way back to the original picture. That's where man's source is by Kol Maitzi Pi Hashem. And it's very interesting that the language used here is that therefore a person needs to prepare themselves with a moment of consciousness before they sit down to eat anything. That it requires hachana, it requires preparation, that a person sit down. And that could be one of the intentions of a bracha. That a person prepares so that they don't end up identifying with the physicality alone, but with the spiritual levels of it as well. So it's not just by the Maitzi Pi Hashem, by the various combinations of the letters of creation that man lives, but it is by Kol Maitzi Pi Hashem. We go for a much deeper source. We go to a much higher place in our yearning.